Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me if you just tuned in. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. If you've been, if you're continuing to listen, if you're still hanging out with us from the earlier part of the hour, we really appreciate that. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to really appreciate that comment when you hear who's on the show right now. Ray Keating is our guest, longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's chief economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. He is the author of U.S. by the Numbers and Washington by the Numbers and the soon-to-be-published Galaxy by the Numbers. And he is also a columnist for Newsday. Many of you see his column. He's the token conservative over at Newsday, and he's our good friend, Ray. Welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing good. How's that Galaxy by the Numbers going?
We got a couple of books still coming, but the labor process has been quite lengthy.
When is the sports book coming out?
I don't know, but hopefully it'll be done before the end of the year. And actually, I've got another tome that I'm working on here, so I got a couple things going on.
So you're starting to collect books that aren't published yet. Is that what you're
doing? That's exactly right.
Books that haven't been. I sound like your editor now, don't I?
I have an 11-year-old son who says, "Hey, Dad, when is that book going to be done?"
Ray, the economy is kind of a schizoid kind of thing right now, isn't it? I mean, it's we got a lot of really good stuff, we got a lot of really bad stuff, and how do we sort it all out?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are asking that question. When you look at Wall Street every day, it's, you know, the Dow Jones is up triple digits, it's down triple digits. A lot of people are trying to sort this out, and it's not, you're right, there are some clear positives, and then there are some things to worry about. You know, I mean, the last quarter GDP growth rate, for example, real GDP grew at 3.4%, so that was pretty good, especially compared to what we had for several quarters before that. So that's,
including
that
the first quarter of 2007, which was around 1% or something, or less than
1%. Oh, yeah. I mean, you really have to go back over the, you know, since late 2005, it's been pretty sluggish growth. We had a pretty good quarter in the first quarter of 2006, and then we had this most recent one. But other than that, we were definitely underperforming there.
Ray, I think we ought to cut ourselves a little slack and put this in perspective. And I've been talking about this now for several months. I think we ought to get over this, you know, feeling unhappy about less than 3% growth. I mean, think about this, Ray. We have a $13 trillion economy. We have states that have larger economies than, like, the fourth or fifth country. And we have states that have larger economies than China. China is becoming the third largest economy. I mean, a $13 trillion economy, 2% growth on top of that is a lot of potatoes and T-shirts.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? There's no reason in my mind that we have to limit ourselves that way. And I think you get into some problems there. You know, Europe did that, and they've had sluggish growth for decades.
I'm not saying that we should limit anything. I'm just saying I don't think we should beat ourselves up. If we don't grow at 3.5% to 5% every year, compounding on $13 trillion of economy.
Right. Now, there's no reason. As long as the economy is growing, I mean, there's no reason to.
And we're creating jobs like crazy.
Right, but I think the other side of it is that are we reaching the potential where every quarter isn't going to be rock solid growth? You have to understand that. You know, there are fluctuations, but are we hitting the potential? Are we growing as good as we can and we should? And that, obviously, economic growth translates into better living standards, higher incomes, all those more jobs, all those things that we want. So I understand what you're saying. We don't need to be beating ourselves up, but we shouldn't have we shouldn't be limiting our expectations at all.
And I completely agree with that. And we should be maximizing the potential out there. But as long as we've got solid fundamentals. And which I think we do in many ways, and we're still creating jobs, and we've got a pretty darn good standard of living in the United States. I just think we ought to take a little bit of a deep breath and say, you know what? Okay, maybe we'd like to have 3%, but 2%'s not bad.
Right, and I understand that, but I'm a guy that, you know me, Jim. I want to be pushing this economy.
You're so pushy, Ray. You are pushy. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with Ray Pushy Keating right after these messages. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. Sometimes known as Cougar Mellencamp, small town in Indiana. Many of you are from small town America, small towns around the world, perhaps, and a lot of wonderful small businesses in small towns, and it's a great place to be from. I'm from a small town myself. Ray Keating, also known as Pushy Keating,
I'm from New York. I'm pushing.
I was just about to say, you know, if you're, it's actually redundant, isn't it, to say pushing New York?
You're absolutely right. It is.
Anyway, Ray's not the least bit pushy, folks. I just have a little fun with him. We're talking about the economy. Ray is chief economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, SBEcouncil.org. And it's for years you heard me call them the Small Business Survival Committee, which they changed their name a couple of years ago. It's SBE Council, and put a .org on the end there. And you'll find their website, which is outstanding. And Ray, you guys have an economic outlook that you published, and it talks about some of the things that you're seeing out there in the economy. What are you seeing?
Right. Well, as we said before, it's a mix of positives and negatives. The fact that the growth rate picked up in the last quarter was certainly good. A big issue there.
A lot of people are buoying their optimism about the economy on that one statistic, aren't they?
Yes. And I think they're...
I mean, with all the other negatives, they're really turning to that one statistic as a big positive, aren't they?
Well, and that's obviously the GDP growth rate's the big kahuna, right? It's the one that measures what the whole economy's doing. And when you drill down, there was a turnaround, which is critical, again, on private sector investment. You know, that was negative for... The growth rate was negative for three quarters, so that turned positive. So that's certainly another... positive for the future, investment. We're looking to see how that's doing. Now, of course, housing is still a mess. So that portion of it, there's certainly, again, who knows?
How bad is housing in your opinion, Ray?
It's really bad. When you look at those numbers for five straight quarters, the decline in residential investment has been astounding. Usually, this last quarter was a little less than 10%, a decline of...
But wasn't a lot of the growth that we enjoyed in the early part of the decade because of overbuilding? Wasn't this the housing iteration of the dot-bomb era? With all the subprime lending, wasn't this just another example of... popular delusions and the madness of crowds.
Right. Well, you got to take it. What you have to do is you have to take it on both sides. You know, there are people today that look at the growth numbers and say, "Well, if you exclude housing, well, you can't exclude housing because when you
40%
when we were growing, right? When the economy was growing faster, they certainly weren't excluding housing from that.
Right.
So you got to take the good with the bad and it's certainly there's a lot of concerns right now as to how far the subprime mortgage issues, how far that's going to spread in the economy. It's anybody's guess at this point.
After all these years, Ray, the McKay book from the 1840s, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. After all these years, you'd think that we would stop being delusional about things. We'd realize that you know the laws of economics have not been suspended, and that the fundamental credit standards that have been honed and carved and you know made much more elegant over the years, that those are that way for a reason. You'd think that after all this time and all these things that have happened, that we wouldn't get ourselves into this kind of a bind.
Well, it's happened before, it'll happen again, and markets provide discipline, and we're seeing that right now. So
yeah.
Markets work. People make wrong decisions all the time, but what the thing about the marketplace is that the marketplace disciplines.
Yeah.
It rewards the right decision, and it disciplines the wrong
decision.
And see,
that's what's beautiful about market solutions as opposed to government solutions.
Sorry,
see, if the market creates something and it's wrong, it fixes it and it either gets rid of it or it makes
right.
an adjustment. If the government makes a bad decision, like Sarbanes-Oxley, for example, we live with it forever.
Right. It's exactly right. What happens when something fails in the private sector? What happens? Well, the business is punished. Perhaps it goes away. It fails. It's
yeah.
gone altogether. What happens in government with failure? Well, they usually get more money. So
that's exactly right.
If you do something poor in government, you're rewarded for it.
Exactly.
If you pass poor regulations that hurt the economy, well, they usually come back and make it even worse. So that is the difference between private sector and public sector.
And I think that's an important part of the debate, of the presidential debate and the congressional debate coming up in the next 18 months, 16 months, Ray, and that is, you know, the people who believe that government is the answer and the people who believe that the market is the answer.
You know, Jim, we're doing a series right now called Energy and Entrepreneurs on our website, and it's a whole mm-hmm. series of reports on what's going on in energy right now and how it affects entrepreneurs and the economy. And that's the perfect example, because what you've got going on there right now is you've got a lot of government meddling that's making things worse. So what is Congress doing? Well, they've stepped up with a couple of pieces of legislation, one to pass the House, one passed the Senate recently. And they seem like they're specifically designed to make things even worse, because there's
yeah.
nothing positive in that legislation. It's all subsidies, tax increases, more mandates,
yeah.
more regulation. It's only
yeah.
going to make matters worse.
It's the world according to government, folks, and that's a place you don't want to go. That is an ugly place. It's like Bizarro World. If you ever used to read the old comic books, Bizarro World, where everything is opposite of reality, that's the government's view of the world. It's 10 till. We're going to be back. When we come back after these messages, I'm going to get Ray to tell us what he thinks small business owners ought to be doing about the economy, and we're going to talk about what he thinks the Fed should be doing, what they will do today with interest rates. Stay with us. It's 10 till. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Ray Keating, Chief Economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. SBEcouncil.org is their website. I encourage you to check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. It's good stuff. Ray, what should small business owners be thinking about the economy right now?
Well, there's a lot of things to keep an eye on. Obviously, I think, you know, you have to see what policy matters. So you got to be watching what's going on in the policy world. As I mentioned, this energy legislation is not certainly a positive development in any sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've got to keep an eye on what your elected officials are doing. You know, it's amazing. Congress has been pushing all the stuff that you shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Vast expansion of government health care with this S-CHIP program, Children's Health Insurance Program,
yeah.
with a big tax increase tied to that. So that's under consideration. There's more possible litigation and regulation on the employment front with this Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, where basically small businesses could be exposed to lawsuits from their employees going back years and years if this thing winds up getting passed.
Mm.
So there are a whole host of, and these are all.
So our biggest enemy is not foreign competition, it's our own government.
Now, you know, the folks that start talking about the ills of internet, you know, free trade, that's not the route to go. We can hold our own. We need to hold our own.
Free trade is very
free
important.
Trade is. And it's critical to consumers, it's critical to small businesses on both ends, whether they're suppliers or whether they're consumers in the international market.
And I love what Bastiat said. I love to quote Frederick Bastiat. He said 150 years ago, he said, when goods cross borders, armies don't.
You got it. And that's, you know, that's all you're talking about is one person trading with another, one company trading with another. So those are things. And then, of course, the Fed, you've got to watch what they're doing today and going forward. You know,
what do you think they're going to do? Are they going to feel? Are they feeling pressure from the credit markets and you know, one of the mortgage companies went bankrupt yesterday. Took Chapter 11 American Mortgage, I think, Home Mortgage or something like that. I've forgotten the company. There's a lot of turmoil out there in the marketplace, even though the stock markets are kind of holding their own. Is the Fed going to feel pressure from that to lower rates?
I'm sure they'll feel some pressure, but how are they, you know, the flip side of it is that they haven't put themselves in the position where they're able to do that, because you've got a weak dollar,
right.
You've got oil up over $70 a barrel,
right.
And you've got commodity prices that are pretty
gold,
darn
gold's
high.
Over $600 an ounce.
$670, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not, they're not exactly in a position where they have a lot of wiggle room. So
you think they're not going to lower rates this time?
No, I, you know, again, it's anybody's guess, but I'm sure they'll probably stand pat, and then the question is, you read the tea leaves and see what they're concerned about. But I'm sure the emphasis will probably shift, you know, with this credit market issue. So the emphasis will probably shift a bit, but, you know, I don't think the Fed can afford to, well, it should never, quite frankly, bottom line, the Fed should never take its eye off the inflation ball.
That's their job. That's their sole
right.
job, isn't it?
That's exactly it. That's their sole job. If they get that right, then there are tremendous benefits throughout the rest of the economy.
Everything else works after that, right, pretty much?
Yep.
Except where the government gets involved.
Right. Well, again, it's always, you know, you got to look at both what's going on in monetary policy and in fiscal policy.
Is that getting worse? Is the government intervention, are you worried about this next presidential and congressional cycle? Are you worried that we could be entering a period, that this next election could really set the stage for whether this nation, the United States, enters into an exciting economic era, or when it moves back towards 20th century construct? What do you think?
Oh, I'm very worried about it. I mean, again, just look what's happened over the last, say, 2 weeks in terms of all the silly legislation that's being pushed. And then when you look out, you know, the next president is going to, and Congress are going to be looking at all of these tax cuts that were temporary and need to be made permanent. Are they going to be, you know, are we facing massive tax increases?
Right.
Are we looking at taxes on capital? You know, everybody talks about, well, I'm going to help the little guy, so therefore I'm going to raise taxes on capital. Well, that doesn't make any sense, because
no.
The little guy needs capital.
That's
he needs
exactly
to be able
right.
to have a job,
it's more,
a place to
it's
work.
It's more precious. Capital is more precious to us little businesses than it is to big businesses.
Absolutely, all the way down. It's to the business owners, big, small, and it's to the employees. They need places to work. They need tools. They need computers.
That's, right.
That's all capital.
All these jobs have been created because tax on capital has gone down over the last 5 years.
That's exactly right. That's
and if you want to stop the job creation, start raising taxes on capital.
Yep, and that threat certainly looms when you look at 2010 and 2011.
SBECouncil.org is the website. Ray Keating is the chief economist. He's our good friend, and he'll be back another day. Ray, thanks for being here. The Fed's not going to raise rates, though, right, today?
I don't think so.
I agree with you. Thanks, Ray. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.